For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Susie going toe to Tobin.
Megan, never a failure, Taylor.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Jenna Murphy, the Murphinator. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Caron from the Rose Prick Bachelor Podcast, and here I am with the gorgeous Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What a great Tuesday.
I know. We're back at it after a very relaxing and much-needed Memorial Day weekend, which we discussed our entire weekend on our bonus episode this week, which will be posted shortly. And we recommend everyone listen to that. You go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens to get access to that episode. It was fun.
Jaw. And we are leaving soon for our live show. We have a Phoenix live show, Crappens Live in June, and then we follow that up by going straight to San Francisco for Gay Pride Southern Charm, everybody. So we'll see you there. Go get tickets.
Calm before the storm, because July, we're traveling all over the place. We're doing so many shows in July. Man.
Yeah, we're so psyched. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com and get those tickets. And also, merch is switching over this month. We have a new shirt coming out. We'll announce that at the Real Housewives of New York podcast this week, okay? So just come back there. Memorial Day was hilarious, by the way, because Ramona was in her Maserati in the Hamptons and rear-ended not a Maserati.
Wait, I don't know about
a Miata. I think she rear-ended a Miata. And, of course, makes the entire holiday about herself. She's like, she took a picture of her pool on Memorial Day and was like, look, veterans, I'm so sorry that I don't have more flags up, but I was in an accident, so I've been icing myself.
Oh, God.
Happy Memorial Day. Yeah, the real victim in all of this is Ramona Singer, ladies and gentlemen. So,
yes. Yeah. That's amazing. I somehow missed. I saw two. It's so funny. I saw two of her stories, and then that one I saw, she had something with a pool, but I didn't watch it. That is hilarious. You know what's funny is that, so on the bonus episode, we talk about, among other things, we talk about video games, and I talk about how I've been playing a lot of Zelda. And on Sunday night, I sat down to play Zelda, and I played it for like 5 hours, and I turned it off at 4 a.m., and before I turned it off, like, it switched over to regular TV, like, for whatever reason, and there was like a season one episode of Real Housewives of New York on, so I switched directly from Zelda, like walking around the plains of Hyrule, to then all of a sudden Ramona being like, whoa, here's what I've taught Avery, that if a boy doesn't like you, he actually does like you, so that's what you have to learn. I wish I'd known that all my life, okay?
Oh,
like, oh my God.
God, Ramona.
Yeah.
She was the gift that kept on giving this week.
She continues. She is a gift that continues to give.
She's an awful, awful, sour little apple gift that just keeps on producing sour, sour Ramona juice. What can you say?
You know what they all do? Because then this morning I go on to Instagram and there's like a shot of Luann and she's in some sort of sparkly dress and the caption is like, gonna surprise Andy Cohen on The View for his birthday. And you just see Luann and she's just like, quiet. I'm gonna surprise Andy. And she's just like walking through a hallway. And for some reason, just Luann walking through a hallway is enough to like brighten my day.
It makes it all worth it.
Would you believe it, girls? I'm walking through a hallway. I hope I don't see any twins.
But today we are here to talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Going strong.
Definitely the best season of Potomac they've had. Yes. I think to date. I think we can all agree on that one. I'm loving Potomac. It's cracking me up.
Yeah, I finally found their voice. Sometimes it takes, it's like a wide receiver. It's like a football players. It's always the third season where they really just like come to life and get you great fantasy football numbers. I know that doesn't translate to you, but to me it does. And that's all that matters.
But fantasy does, okay?
Whoa.
In What's my a fantasy, fantasy? Somebody didn't stop in front of me and make me rear end them, okay? That's my fantasy. Happy Memorial Day to me.
What's a fantasy football? Is that like when wizards and witches play football? Why do they do that? Do they control the ball with their wands? I don't get it. Okay.
Okay. So let's see here. Where do you want to start, Ben? Oh.
Why don't we start at the end of the episode?
Let's start at the end and go backwards. We'll do like a memento. So I know that this show is really good because when I write down the... what happened previously, and don't even remember some of it because I was missing it from typing so much last week. Karen going, security, security, when she's outside trying to break them up. And then she's just standing in the middle of the girls with her arms outstretched, and she's going, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. It's like she's in her own version of Dreamgirls. I'm telling you, you're going. You're going.
I think she was reacting to the news that there's such a thing as flat-screen TVs. No, 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 no. No, Ray and I have the most advanced tube TV technology there is. No, flat screens, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
If it ain't a boob tube, it's not going in the hooker home.
I don't understand. Why would someone want a TV that's flush against their wall? We like to have at least 3 feet, 3 feet of distance from the wall.
So she's screaming for security. Monique is holding an umbrella against Robin's neck. And she's like, I'm going to choke you out with this umbrella. And then Robin's like, hit me. Hit me. Go ahead. Hit me. She's like, so you can turn around and sue me and have all your dreams come true. Which, you know, what a snotty thing to say, because she's money shaming somebody. And it's not like Monique went out and earned a lot of money on her own.
I know.
Okay.
Monique really, she needs to take a seat because she was really up all about being like, I'm not going to hear about someone who has, like, what was she saying? Like, I've got more money to lose than someone who has more less money to lose than I have more money
to lose. I don't deal with people with less to lose than me. So she's saying, like, if I hit her, she's going to sue me because she's poor. Which, you know, what a shitty thing to say. But I was thinking, as somebody who could use a good punch in the face by a rich person so I could see them and get a lot of money, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so Robin right now. And I don't think I've ever said that. But I was like, I hope this is what Robin's doing because it's a good plan.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Also, Monique needs to like relax. Okay. It's not like she owns like the state of Maryland. Okay. She's got five houses that her husband bought. Okay. You're not Barbara Corcoran. Okay. So just relax.
Shark Tank.
Yeah.
She's just Kitchen Fish Tank. The fish are just judging her stupid business ideas. They're like, ginseng and apple cider vinegar sounds great. We'll invest in that.
I will invest $30 for a 2% equity in your company. It's like, Mom, can I just do my lemonade stand? Thanks.
So I think Giselle speaks for all of us when she says, I have no idea why Spaghetti Arms picks a fight with Money Mayweather Robin. But
yeah, it is true. I mean, Robin will take down anyone. She's a tank.
Yeah, she is a tank. So Charisse is like, what's happening? What did Robin even do to you? What's going on? What did Monique do? And Robin's like, stop making excuses for her, okay? And just raises her finger because she's back in preacher mode. And she's like, no more. No more. No more. It's like,
you guys, that's going in the book.
We're not in church, okay? There's somebody holding an umbrella against somebody's throat. Let's stop acting like we're in the middle of a church.
Yeah, so Robin's coming down on Shasha for taking Monique's defense and everything. And then Karen, she's furious. You know, the real victim here is Karen Huger, whose scent event with Sue was ruined. And, you know, she's just pissed at all the ladies. Like, don't do it at my event. Do it at Monique next time. Do it at Monique's event, but not at my event.
Attack her at your own event. Please, spend a dime. Spend a dime.
So now Monique and Sasha are talking. And Monique is now doing this whole thing of, you know, I let down my guard and I thought I had some new friends. But now I don't have new friends. What was I thinking? Maybe I was too drunk, you know, but...
Maybe I would. No, actually, yeah. She's like, I'm not drunk. I can drive. Look at that. Yeah. I can drive. I'm not drunk. I spend time on charities. And for a second, I thought I gained new friends. I'm like, what does this, any of this have to do with you drunk driving and crashing your car?
It's like you just sat down on a park bench, put your hands up as if you're on a steering wheel. Like, you are drunk. Like, you're not driving.
Right now. She seemed kind of drunk. I'm like, tried to strangle somebody with an umbrella. I don't know if now's the time.
You just tried to climb up on a police horse, okay? Like, it does not count as driving if you're treating a newspaper box like a steering wheel.
So you're trying to make your umbrella fly like Mary Poppins, okay? I think you're drunk. She's like, I can drive this umbrella. No one's going to stop me. So Charisse is like, listen, you're amazing. And I know you're amazing because when you called me and told me about the accident, I said, I know you. They don't know you. I was like, what are you even saying, Charisse? Does Charisse ever have like a plan of what she's going to say, or does she just always spout off nonsense? I don't know what this woman is ever talking about.
Well, she's like, as one woman who has driven drunk before, and by driven drunk, I mean has 3 glasses of champagne and gone onto a hoverboard, I empathize.
Ah, let me tell you how many small threes I hit before hitting a big three. She's like, I'm a woman who empowers women, so I get it. I'm like, is that a new way to say, like, breathalyzer? Because that's what we're talking about here. And then Monique's like, yeah, Charisse respects and empowers other women, okay?
I'm like, no one's ever let's, like, rewind to Nima Colin, okay? Listen, you're a little girl. You're a little girl. Come on. Charisse empowering up. Come on. Never.
So then we go over to Monique. Everybody's getting ready because I guess it's like the new start of the episode. So we see everybody. It's morning time. And Monique just keeps saying a variant of this. You can't even have a relaxing night with those tricks. I don't have the mental capacity to be around these shady behind tricks. Like, her new thing today is shady behind, which cracks me up because she says that I think 5 times. And Chris is just like,
He's just staring at, like, I don't know, a model boat or something. He's like, I'm going to build a sailboat.
God told me to build an ark that fits 2 of every kind of animal.
Monique, you won't be driving the ark, will you?
Then we see Robin's exciting life. She's like, this is how you make a bed.
Yes, did you notice that she totally has a Hildy Santos Thomas wall in that kid's room? It's all geometric shapes of different colors. It was classic trading spaces.
Classic Robin.
Well, she pretty much has traded spaces. She's playing trading spaces with herself. She's like, I went from a townhouse to a townhouse in the same complex, but this one has a nook, so we're moving up.
The other Robin wore jogging pants. This Robin wears a ball gown to make a bed. Me, I'm Robin. So Giselle's on the phone with the girl who's writing her book, and she's like, the writer's like, well, I've made the requested changes. And she's like, good. I'm like, is this writing a book? Do you do anything for this book? What exactly are you doing for this book?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe she's going to test the paper stock. She's like, well, I've made my contributions. So we finally land on Chris and Candy S, and they're on a dock. And he's like, can you get the fish food out of my pocket? And because they're going to feed fish. So it's weird that he couldn't grab it himself. I think at first I thought it was supposed to be like grab my dick through my pocket situation. But ultimately, they're like, yeah, let's feed the fish. I brought fish food. I'm like, you know, this is not like a fish tank. Like, you could throw pretty much like anything. You can throw bread in there. It's fine.
Yeah, who does that?
I don't know why it bothered me so much that they got specific fish food for like wild fish. You know?
Yeah, it's just dumb. Bread. Why don't you just go fishing? And also, you're feeding fish. What about the people who are trying to fish? Now the fish aren't going to be hungry. It's like you're causing a whole problem here, Candy and Chris. But of course.
And who feeds fish at a harbor? Yeah, I'm sorry. You do it in a pond or a fish tank, but you don't do it at a harbor.
Well, you can tell they feed a lot of fish because fish don't need napkins.
I don't even get that, but I
Because
appreciate
they
it.
forgot the napkins at his at the barbecue that they threw, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's like, we need a napkin. Nah. We're just used to feeding fish.
Yeah, this was to make up for the fact that they did not bring the barbecue on time. Like, well, we're going to show that we can feed something appropriately. So, look, we'll start with fish.
Yeah, they're throwing paper towels at the fish. They're like, we didn't forget napkins. So Candy is planning a lunch with who she calls Momzilla, which, you know, she's like, the wedding is a year away and me and my mom need to create boundaries. You know what you could do that with? Your own checking account.
Man. Yeah. Also, I'm starting to think that Dorothy's not that much of a momzilla. She's just pretty calm and collected. And like the most she said was, well, I think you may have to reconsider your budget. You know, it's like, whoa, momzilla.
Yeah, but we can't tell if she's just acting because I'll talk about it when they get to lunch. But Candy's making it seem like she's really a momzilla behind closed doors, you know, and I can't really tell. So she's like, well, my mom knew about the little kids that you had, but she doesn't know about the 15-year-old that you have that you haven't seen for 10 years. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, awkward. They didn't tell the mom because they didn't want her to, you know, be judgmental, etc. Even though the mom is a therapist, so allegedly she's professionally unjudgmental. But, you know, we'll see. Yeah. So they're talking about this and Candace is like, well, we both come from blended families and, you know, I want to be honest with my mom and like, you know, I just want to show that we can blend and she should get it because we're from blended families. And he's just like staring, zoning out. Like, when can we go back to the fish?
Yeah, because she's saying, look, I mean, we get it. We're from divorced families and we can prove that we can do this. I'm like, isn't he like the third? I mean, aren't you the
doing
third
a lot
wife?
Of There's a lot of blending happening. It's like he's a Vitamix.
Okay. The motor that will never stop blending.
He is. He's the sort of person who can blend the families so well that they become like you make soup and it gets warm because the blender's so good.
Oh my god! So then Robin's kids are being monsters. Robin's scenes always start with like, "Stop it! Leave your brother alone!"
Stop it, little boys. So Juan comes over. And he's brought vegan food and she's like, Juan watched a documentary on Netflix and like ever since then this whole household is vegan.
Been there, done that. I think we've all done it. And you know Robin's making another damn dollar because they finally got Netflix. I'm like, for this to be happening to you now, I mean, I think all the rest of America went through this vegan Netflix phase like 5 years ago. At least.
Oh my god. Every time there's a food documentary on Netflix, it's the most annoying thing in the world. Did you see that food thing? Did you see that, like, cows are murdered? Did you see that documentary? Oh my god, I'm never eating meat again. Right, I'm vegan now. Like, okay.
Wait till they actually sell one of those flipped houses. She's going to suddenly know what Game of Thrones is. It's like, oh jeez. It's like the one who's just found Game of Thrones and won't shut up about it, like, all these years later. Oh, pay for the HBO finally. So she's like, Juan brought home vegan. And, you know, Juan has really given her nothing over their marriage. So she's just getting over the tennis shoes she got last week. And now she's like,
oh my god. Juan, I love Satan. Satan.
It's been a long time since we've gone to church, but Juan brought me Satan, so that's what we're doing now. So they're having some kind of party, right?
Well, they're going to be having a medium coming over. I don't know if there's a party, but basically Robin has invited a medium to come over for later in the episode, and she's doing it because of. Basically, the producers were like, have a medium come over. But we learned that Juan had a dad named Phil, who we always thought was his dad. But it turns out his real dad is a guy named Bruce. And apparently this was all part of a big thing on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. And so I'm saying that now because I think that's important when we come back to the psychic. So that's
it. Oh, yeah. So they're talking about who they want to talk to. He's like, should we talk to my mom? And she's like, well, we've lost so many people, grandparents, friends. And he's like, what about Earl? She's like, yeah, that guy threw himself off the bridge after he stole all of our money. I mean, if he wants to apologize, that would be great. If Monique was dead, I'd ask her to apologize. But I guess we're going to have to wait a few years for that one. So then she brings up Monique and how she's been blowing at me every insult. And she's like, every insult has been about money, okay? I take the blame for it, and it just keeps going. It never stops. Now, I would feel sorry for her if she wasn't always fighting with people and talking about how much money they're getting from their husbands.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think that when Monique talks about Robin's, like, money, I think Monique just goes to the money space with everyone, you know, because Monique has it in her mind that she is, you know, Melinda Gates. And it's like, she's not. And I mean, she's wealthy, wealthier than we are for sure. But Robin is taking it, I think, way more personally. You know, it's like when Robin got all mad because Monique posted that meme. And Robin's like, I can't believe you'd make fun of me for waving my face. It's like, no, it was a meme. She wasn't really, it wasn't like something specifically directed towards you. But Robin thinks that Monique is making fun of Robin's financial difficulties. And I actually don't get the sense that she is. I think that Monique just says that with anyone. It's like, I'm sorry, ma'am. We are out of crabs for tonight. Well, guess what? I have more money than you. I got money. If you had money, you would get me crabs. You know, it's like...
Yeah, so she wants to
talk
about...
Terrible example, but, you know.
So she wants to talk about this guy jumping off the bridge, this fraud, by bringing in another fraud, which, you know, it's like, can you just keep on trucking, Robin, okay? Or as exactly. As Juan would say, just keep grinding. Stop worrying about Monique, which will never happen.
No.
So over at Karen's doing her classic grocery store platter for a
guest.
Oh,
my God. It was like Entenmann's muffins with some grapes. And the funny thing is, last week I made fun of Robin for creating the alter ego Kern Hooger. I was like, what a stupid name. Couldn't you have done better? And then all week long I've been going, Kern Hooger, Kern Hooger. It's like shockingly perfect. I'm like,
it
oh,
really
it's
is
Kern Hooger.
Kern
Hooger.
Well, so she drops her tongs on the floor and she's like, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Enough. Security. Tell these ghosts they have to stop playing with my tongs. Security.
Tongs, drop on your own dime. Tongs.
Tongs
spend
are
a dime.
Dizzy ass tongs. You're the dizziest tongs here.
So Monique comes over with her adorable freaking little kid. Oh my God. Her daughter is so cute.
Yeah, super cute.
So she's like, well, I made, you know, Kern Hooker mad. So if I have to, but I don't have a nanny. And if I have to drive 2 hours to get in her good graces, I will do that. I'm like, oh my God, with your not having a nanny again.
I know. Like, congratulations. Welcome to all of America. Like, you don't get an award for not having a nanny, okay? There's no special medal
for... You're eating muffins. Right. Yeah, yeah. You win. Yeah, yeah. You're eating muffins with your daughter at somebody's house. Whoa! Mother of the year.
Well, she's like, well, if I have to drive in 2 hours of traffic just to get to her house, I will. I'm like, well, what else would you be doing? Cleaning out the fish tank? You know? So Chris is putting his model boat into the fish tank.
Yeah, that is
like look
the
at
arc.
It go sailing. I just want to say, because someone's going to tweet, like, I miss the model boat. That's totally fictional. I just made it up because that's what I was imagining he was doing. He always looks like he's staring down at, like, he's like always just sort of staring down like he's about to make a little model boat or a model train.
Yeah, he's always looking down at something like, I'm just going to agree with you right now because I don't know what else to do.
I'm going to apply this wood glue.
Helicopters are harder to put together than you would think.
Look at this sail. It looks quite realistic.
So Monique knows how to deal with Karen. She's like, look, I'm sorry. I should have known better than to fight at your event. I just couldn't believe it. And Karen's like, well, I hope you learn something. Don't let them pull your strings. I'm like, look who's talking, lady.
Yeah. Don't let them pull your strings just the way those ghosts pulled the tongs right off my platter. So rude. Been bullied by ghosts all day.
And so Monique was like, yeah, well, it wasn't really my fault, though, right? And she's like, no, I mean, that was right down and stupid.
Let me tell you something. Giselle and Robin are bullies, straight up bullies. Like, remember how they bullied me about taxes at my press conference that was attended by no one except them? That was just rude. Rude.
The bully team ain't cute. Jack and Whack. There, I said it. It's mine. Jack and Whack. Write it down.
Next, I'm going to fax it to all the news authorities. Jack and Wax. Press release from Karen Huger. Here, page 1. This is the title page. 2 pages total. It's page 2. Jack and Wax. I created that.
Jack, page one. Page two is and page three is whack.
3 or 3 pages sent, not including the cover page. I don't send a cover page, honey. They know my faxes.
Well, she's a kindred spirit, Monique, because we were both attacked over my taxes.
I don't think that's what makes a kindred spirit, but okay.
So Monique's like, well, you know, Houston just happened, and so, and here we go with the charity wars.
Well-timed charity, like post-drunk driving charity moment. Well-timed.
So she knows this guy who's getting 2 18-wheelers, so they're joining forces with her massive charity called Ginger and Apple Cider Vinegar Monique Neek. And they're going to fill those trucks with something. So she's like, well, I wanted to extend the invite to the group, but is it the right time? I'm like, when is the right time to ask people to bring old clothes and bottles of water? It's not like they have to drive to Houston together.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not doing anybody a favor.
Yeah. So so then we go over to Chris's restaurant where Candace and Dorothy have arrived. And we learn that Dorothy always loves going to Chris's restaurant because she just loves – when she gets off the plane from Atlanta, the first thing she wants is barbecue. I'm like, no, the first thing she wants is a free meal, okay? Because you can get tons of barbecue down in Atlanta, I'm sure, okay?
Well, Lord knows, like, she earned it. She's like, I bought your house. I'm eating free barbecue.
Exactly. I mean, since when do you go from, like, the South to Maryland and be like, okay, I need to have barbecue now? It's like, go to OLG.
Yeah, you know? He could be working at a yogurt planet, and she'd be in there with yogurt with every single topic on it, okay? And she earned it, young lady.
Oh, she did. I mean, that's why I think it's so funny about it. Like, she just wants, like, obviously she just is like, give me a free meal.
Yes. And this is why I think that Candace is telling us that she acts different off camera. Because she goes, well, when she comes here, she gets a half chicken, collard greens, mac and cheese. And then it cuts to the mom and she's like, oh, have a salmon salad. And I'm trying to get a really high voice, but it's really hard.
I would like to have a salmon salad, please. And some extra arugula on it, too.
So they're talking about the wedding a little bit. And Candace is like, so I guess there's something I need to tell you. And then she takes a big sip. And the mom's like, okay.
And Candace does her beauty pageant thing, which she seems to do every episode. She goes, I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry. And the mom's like, okay, bitch, just get to it. All right, you do this every time you open up a yogurt, you know? It's like, I don't want to cry. See your play?
I know this trick, okay? I'm your mother, okay? She like folds the paper towel up into a tiny little square, so she's just tapping at the tiny little tears at the corner. She's like, listen, lady, just get it over with.
Yeah. She's like, well, there's something I haven't told you. She's like, oh my God, am I paying for this meal today? Am I paying for this meal? No. It's about Chris. Well, you know, he has 2 little kids. Well, there's a 3rd kid. And mom's like, okay. And he's 15. She's like, okay. He's 15. He's a 15-year-old son. The mom's like, okay.
She's like, things are sensitive, but we all have to learn how to deal with sensitive topics. That's my opinion. And she's like, oh my God. She was so lovely about it. A weight has literally been lifted off of me. And I'm like, she's going to hit you with the fly swatter in the parking lot. Just wait. Just wait, young lady.
She's like, okay, I'll yell at her after I get my free meal, but for right now, where is that salmon salad?
Yeah, you're literally telling her in a public place so she can't yell at you. It's like a breakup thing that you're doing with your mom. So Chris arrives, and she's like, full disclosure, I told her about the first kid, and he's already got food in his mouth. I'm like, can you wait to stop stuffing your mouth until you do a confession? Come on, people.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, yeah, I don't know what to do. He's like, I haven't seen him in like 9 years, and I try to go by, but she won't let me. And like, it's hard. I'm like, what is this accent you're doing, Chris? He's like, he's like,
it's hard. Right?
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, that was fishy. He did totally do that. He's like, I thought I was making decisions that was best for him, but what if I push? And he says, no. I'm like, listen, Scarlett O'Hara, just get through this, okay? And also, what he was saying, you don't even have to read between the lines. He said, I said I was going to go there, but then there's threats, and then I thought I was making decisions that were best for him, but blah, blah, blah. And mom's like, well, maybe it's going to be hard, but you don't know unless you try. I mean, it's your fucking son, sir.
Well, it's the standard thing we hear from all the guys on the show. You know, like Block, he said this about like Rad. He's like, well, I wanted to, but then your mom always seems so angry. So I was like, it's best if I don't interfere. And meanwhile, the kid's like crying out for their father.
Yeah, I don't know that this is a good marriage. He seems very nice, but I don't think a good mother would say, hey, this sounds great. Sounds like a great idea for your first marriage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to discount the fact that like the mom of this 15-year-old kid may be crazy or whatever, but like he's saying like his basic thing is that he's afraid that he's going to try to reach out and then I guess probably the mom will poison the well or something like that, and then he might lose the kid forever. But
you already lost the kid forever.
I think the mom is right. The mom's a therapist. I think she knows what she's talking about. She's like, you got to try. You have to try at the very least. The kid needs to know that you're trying.
Yeah.
Because that's all the kid's going to take away from it. You know, 5 years from now when the kid's in college and thinking about things, the kid's like, he didn't even try. So you got to try.
So now we get Giselle and Cal.
It's from Ben and Ronnie. Talk shit we don't even know.
Here's how to be a good father. Pay your child support and send birthday cards at the very least. And
send
make an effort. How about
send some barbecue? Send some free meals. That'll change everyone's opinion.
No one screams at free barbecue.
No one. I guarantee you send free barbecue to that household every Friday night, free food. It works.
Yeah.
Someone sent me free food every single week. I'll be like, okay, you know what? They're actually pretty cool.
It's the great uniter. So Giz and Cal, it's like a shady little dirty story. So they're at the salon.
It's the story of gay men's lives. Giz and calories.
Gross.
Gross and true. Mm. Anyway, so Giselle's at the salon.
And she's like, I am stressed. There's a book. Girls. Sherman. My mom. Hurricane Harvey. I'm like, you're really putting a lot on your list that has like not a lot to do with you. Okay. Someone else writing the book. You do have girls. Yeah. I'll give you that. Sherman's not calling you back. So it's not like I get why that would be stressful or hurtful, but it's not like a huge thing on your to-do list, you know?
Yeah. Well, she's sitting there, and I think the straw that's breaking the camel's back in this case is that her mom wants to move near her because after Hurricane Harvey, her mom's down in Houston. Her mom is like, I'm sick of this. I want to be near the girls. So she wants to get a house, but Giselle doesn't know what sort of house to get her mom. I'm assuming the question is whether or not her mom moves in. And that, like, she doesn't know how to answer that because she has to see where she stands with Sherman, and he's not getting back to her. And she's like, how much of a superwoman do I have to be? I'm like, well, clearly not a lot, because I'm not seeing a lot of superwoman happening here.
Yeah, and it does sound like she's saying, like, how expensive of a house can I afford? Am I with Sherman, or am I doing this on my own? Like, is this woman getting a trailer in the backyard at the house I'm currently leasing? Or is Sherman going to buy us a big house? You know, it's like, this is very stressful. Wonder Woman does not worry about things like that, okay? Stop calling yourself Wonder Woman.
She said Superwoman, to be fair, so let's not mix up.
Well, Superwoman doesn't either.
Neither of them, especially if it was like, yes. I got confused in the Wonder Woman, Superwoman situation, and I just had to stop.
Wonder Woman, why you do that?
Why you do that? Why you move here? Why? Gal Gadot. Why?
Why you do that?
Showman, why you not call? Showman, why you do
that? That's her trick, getting men to call her. It's like,
Yeah, Giselle turns into Giselle Gadot. She's like, why you do that? Showman.
Showman, why you do that?
I'm in no man's land.
So she starts crying, and Cal is so uncomfortable with her crying. He's like, no. Okay, she's crying.
She gets up and she goes like the back of the salon and like stands by a wall, puts her hand on the wall, is like prepping myself up.
Chapter 7. Ginger leans against a wall because she needs to cry in a bathroom, but it's taken. by somebody with a massive number two.
That day, that was a load-bearing wall in many different ways.
All she wanted was an open-plan kitchen for her mother.
She wanted an open concept. But that was one concept that Sherman was unable to conceptualize.
Why you do that?
Yeah, so she comes back. She's like, I just have a lot on my plate. I'm like, no, you just have a very tiny plate right now. Time to upgrade. Go from a cocktail plate to a dinner plate. Yeah. Be much better.
And make Chris pay for it. Lord knows he needs the karma.
Yeah. Wait, Chris?
Oh, not Chris. Isn't Chris Candy's... What's Candy Ass's boyfriend's name? Yeah, he's Chris. Yeah, make him pay.
All the Chris's. Make all the Chris's pay for it.
Yeah, make all the Chris's pay.
Make all the Chris's pay for your plate.
And so Cal's like, well, you're still crying. Well, you're holding it in because you're Superwoman and you make things happen. But you keep it inside and you can let it out once in a while. I mean, preferably not here. Oh, God, you're crying again. She's like, it's all on me.
And then the camera just zooms in on her, like, extreme terrible angle for her, like, low angle because she's lying down in the sink and everything, and she's, like, crying and everything. And Cal's like, this is awkward. Can you go now?
Yeah, he's like, being a God-fearing woman, you know you're not in control. I was like, God-fearing? Well, yeah, that's the first thing I think of when I think of Giselle. Just a good God-fearing woman. So Monique and Charisse are next, and it's changed from 18-wheeler to 16-wheeler to a couple of U-Hauls. I'm not really sure what's going on here, but it's nice. You know, they're like collecting, and then Charisse is there to take credit for everything. She's like, oh, they know all my friends. She knew she couldn't do this without my assistance, and I reached out to all my friends, and they all vote up.
Yeah, well, great, Charisse. Look at Charisse empowering by taking all the credit. Meanwhile, what I loved is that they started setting up a tent right by the U-Haul, and Monique is setting up this tent, and I don't know if you noticed it, but she did it right next to a sign that said do not drink. I was like, see, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, Monique. You just have to literally look for the signs.
She takes out an umbrella and holds it against the sign. She's like, listen here, sign. I'm sick of your attitude.
She's like, wow, that sign was real. This tent was really hard to set up. Who's ready for a martini? I brought some thermos.
Karen's just throwing old wigs in there. And Giselle comes by and she's like, I got some water. And she just hands it over and leaves.
Giselle does exactly what I would have done. Like, here's the water. Bye. That's how I would handle it.
Yeah, she's still not happy with Monique. So she's like, here's your water. Here's your Costco water. Bye.
You might need some of it before you go driving next time.
So speaking of empowerment, Robin's over with her team for her empowered.
Before you get to Robin, I just want to point out that Karen showed up with nothing. She's like, well, I'm here. I don't have anything to donate, but I'm here for all the heavy lifting. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to do any heavy lifting, and you brought no bag of Huggies or water like everyone else.
Doesn't Bill Gates do enough? That's just, sorry.
I brought a roll of fax paper. Certainly someone needs that.
One thing you need when you're in a storm is to know that your printer paper is being held steady in place, which is why there's little holes on the side of this, and when you're done printing, you just rip off the sides. Remember that old printer paper?
Yeah. I brought a cordless phone. It's great. So even if you hit in a hurricane, you can make a call from upstairs while your phone base is downstairs.
So she's, she brings nothing. I didn't even notice that. I heard her say she's here for heavy lifting, but I was like, of what? It's a bunch of water and wigs. You know that truck is full of water and wigs, right?
Yeah, exactly. So now we go to Robin, as you were trying to say.
She's empowered walkthrough. she has a new charity called She's Empowered. And then the Chiron says, the She's Empowered team. I love the Chiron people.
I like that it sounds like cheese and power. Like, I probably would have shown up being like, I love the idea of cheese and power. Like, two great things, having cheese and having power.
Cheese empowerment. Dairy cheese empowerment. Rob's not really, Juan's not really with us, but, you know, we're still supporting each other on our different lanes. Him on his vegan lane and mine on cheese empowerment.
So now, you know, so we see some more charity stuff. Or basically, Ashley and Monique are like, like, now's not the time for fighting, but we'll talk about this at a future time. So yes. Now we basically go to the future time where Ashley and Monique arrive at a French restaurant called Mon Ami.
Well, Mon Ami.
Mon Ami.
So
did I go too fast for you? Did I disorient you?
No. I mean, literally nothing happened. Like, why do we have to talk about every little thing? I was just looking at this line that Robin says, Monique knows how she made me feel at that scent event, but I'm too busy empowering women to tear them down. Since when, young yeah. lady?
Remember when you went to Ashley's business to try to, like, make it look bad?
Yeah.
What part of empowerment was that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But I'm glad that she's buying her own bullshit. You know, you need to buy your own product first. So exactly. Over at this French restaurant, they're like, So. Well, I guess I'll wait for you to order.
Did you order?
No, I'll wait for you.
Monique, like, conspicuously orders a hot tea instead of like, a martini, but... Then she also orders a shrimp cocktail. I'm like, you know that there's no booze in a shrimp cocktail, right?
She's just ordering. She has to order a cocktail somehow.
She's like, I need my cocktails in some form or another. She's like, I'll have the shrimp cocktail. Can we make that with gin? Thanks.
Bananas Foster. You have that right.
So Ashley's like, well, well, I'm relieved we can talk it out. Don't think I didn't notice homegirl ordered a tea and not a martini.
Mm-hmm.
And Monique's like, well, thank you for coming because it showed me that we know how to act for a good cause. And she's like, look, I'm on the offense here. I'm not mad at you or anything. So, you know, I mean, I saw that you were upset at the scent event.
Which, first of all, she doesn't know the difference between offense and defense, which is funny.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I love that Ashley is just always so innocent, but she's the biggest shitster on this show. And that is saying something on this
show. She is. She is the biggest shitster, but she apologizes really well. She's like a really good apologizer, but she does stir so much shit. And Monique is like, well, here's the thing. My name is my business. I'm like, and what business is that? Exactly. Just remind me, what is the Monique business?
You know that there's already a Monique, right?
And she's been run out of Hollywood.
Yeah, you can't just take over Monique's life, okay?
Yeah.
She's like, my face is my business, and my business is ginseng. Or ginger. Rather. I keep saying ginseng.
No, it's gin. It doesn't matter. It's either way. It's gin. My business is gin. Just add sang or jur.
Or yeah, not. Even apple cider vinegar has cider in there. It's like, come on.
Yeah, Monique, my name is my business. My name is my business. I'm like, your business is like literally just like chopping vegetables on your kitchen island every episode.
Yes. So she's like, well, I did have a talk with Robin, all innocent. And then they cut and she's like, oh, my God, she had four martinis. Robin's like, four. Yeah.
But it was innocuous. I think it was innocuous. Well, I'm going to walk that back. Yeah, it was not. It wasn't as malicious as Monique thought. It wasn't. Robin wasn't being like, Monique's a drunk. She had four martinis and she crashed her car. She's a drunk driver. So she wasn't being malicious like that. But she does go, I think I have to have a talk with Monique. I'm concerned about her. She had like four martinis at lunch, which was still like.
That's called concern trolling.
Yeah, because it came up at it didn't arrive in a it arrived, I should say, sorry. It wasn't like people were talking about Monique's drinking and then she brought it up. She just sort of brought it up out of nowhere under the guise of being concerned. So
yes.
But it wasn't as malicious as Monique thought it was.
Yeah, and Ashley's like, well, I care about her, but make no mistake, I made no mistake. And she knows it. She just got caught.
And then Monique's like, well, shame on you. Fool me once. Wait, what'd she say? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, ain't gonna be no shame on me, fool.
Yeah, because I'm gonna have a martini. Times three, and I'm gonna drive away from the situation.
Fool me twice, you're a tiny tree. Fool me three times, you're a big tree. Fool me four times, I just fell asleep. Stop questioning me.
You know what? I'm so sick of you fooling me. I'm going to have a martini for every time you fool me, and I'm going to drive away.
And then Monique again is like, well, I hate that we even involved those messy behind tricks. And Ashley's like,
have you said that 20 times today? So Robin's at home.
You don't remember, do you? You're blacked out as we talk, aren't you?
How many Ashleys do you see? She's like, stop it.
how about we do the... Oh, gosh, this is totally deranged. Like, how about we why don't we go through the alphabet backwards? And now I sound like a Muppet. What's going on? I don't know what's happening. What's going on? What's the matter? What's going on? I'm like suddenly turning into like a Muppet Babies over here. Not too far from the truth.
Let's discover this pirate ship together.
Oh, Muppet Babies. Now there's a Real Housewives show.
Okay. Animal. That's my Karen Huger. Animal. Animal.
Kern. Unmul.
Kern. Nanny's coming. Quiet, everyone.
Monique's like, oh, you're so lucky you have a nanny.
Security, nanny. Can you break up this fight, please? Thank you.
So Robin is at home, and the music people are like, it's like some wacky 70s sitcom guitar, which I was like, I guess this is the psychic scene. Is this like a Mr. Furley thing to be doing? I'm not understanding the music choice, but I'm liking you guys going out on your electric guitar 70s wacky branch.
I think it was really an ode to that green velvet couch that Robin put into her living room. It's just so disgusting.
It's just the AI. It like scans the room and gives whatever music. That's why every time they go to Karen's, it's like boom, 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 boom. Sounds like a Karen-y kind of song. Like everything's falling apart around her, but she's just like, that's great. Everything's great.
It's great. We actually don't like having that wallpaper there. When you know how people have exposed brick, we have exposed I-beams. That's what we like to have.
Boom, boom.
Exposed
boom.
Plaster. So this medium arrives. His name is Justin. He's, you know, bleach blonde hair. Sort of looks like what's his face from Chris Connolly, formerly of MTV. A little bit. I don't know why I'm making that reference. I don't know why it's important, but I had to get it out. Once I have it in my head, I have to get it out onto the podcast. So he arrives, and he's going to be men. They sit there, and he's like, all right, now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to mentally call out to your loved ones. Who's here? Who wants to come? Who wants to talk, everyone? Who wants to go? Oh, look, we have Dame Edna. She's not even dead, but she's here.
So did you know Bob Hope? He's got this, like, fake deep voice that he's using. He's like, look, I'm a man.
I was like, so why are you using a fake deep voice when you've got, like, really thick eyeliner and bleach? You're confusing me, okay?
I liked his deep voice.
He was
scary. I enjoyed it. It was, like, not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I think that's why he uses it. He's like, hello. He's, like, doing the Countess Luann.
He's like, would you believe it, girls? There's spirits that are here. Stay away, Monique. Not those kind of spirits.
I'm scared. Don't be, Robin.
He's got like some kind of man spanx going on. I don't know. I don't trust him. I don't trust this guy, okay? He's like, I try and demystify the process. Mentally call out your loved ones. Mentally call them out. And Juan's like, oh, Jesus.
It's Frank Sinatra. Are you late to Frank Sinatra? Because he's here.
Well, good news, everybody. Moby Dick's finally been killed because he's in your living room.
Moby Mel Torme has arrived. Oh, hello, Michelangelo.
Hello, Joan of Arc. Yes, I did steal your haircut. Get in line, bitch.
Hey, Marie Antoinette, there's no cake here. Get out.
Mary Magdalene. Ugh. I don't know. I'm just coming up with dead people from history.
You may not.
Al Pacino, what are you doing here? He's not dead. Oh, well. He's still such a handsome guy as me.
His father. What are you doing here? I'm not due to see your son until tomorrow.
So he's like, well, guys, for the past 5 minutes, there's a lady to my right, a lady to my left, a lady in the middle, and let's kick!
It's like, those are the producers. All right, I'm getting a vibe. I'm seeing a camera crew and a lighting rig and a man with sound equipment. Can you explain those things to me?
Wow, those couches are neato. And they're like, Nita, that was that was Juan's mother. I mean,
yeah,
Juan's yes. Like, he could have Googled Juanita, but not her nickname, Nita. Which I guess is true. Do you think this guy's just a total phony or what? What do you think?
Well, so the reason why I mentioned the Real Sports thing, I didn't actually watch it, but I think we talked about it on the podcast because maybe last year, because Michelle Collins is an avid watcher of that show. And she was like, did you see this real sports episode. And apparently there's an episode where they really go into this whole thing that happened with Juan and his dad. And basically the dad was at a barbecue and someone says, "You look just like Juan Dixon." He's like, "I know, I think that's my son," or something like that. They like came together in a really coincidental, it was one of those like stranger than fiction things. So the reason why I bring that up is this guy, when Robin's like, "Well, you can Google Juan's life, but like you won't know like Nita or whatever." I'm like, well, I don't know if Nita was mentioned on Real Sports, but maybe she was. Like, I don't know.
It's hard for me to trust it. I don't know. And I loved Medium. You know, I love that show. I watched every episode, but I don't necessarily believe, because the real one didn't do all that stuff every week. Like, she didn't help Molly Ringwald find some dead person, you know, who murdered somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very confused. I don't know what to think. And I don't trust men with thick eyeliner. Okay, there. I guess, said it.
Here's the thing. I mean, the whole scene in general, I mean, it looked very convincing. It was like, wow, he's really killing it. It's just, you know, I can't help but be a skeptic. I'm like, maybe he did Google. You know, the stuff is out there. I don't know. Here's the thing. They believed him, and it seemed like it was giving them some sort of solace. So as long as they believe him, I guess it's fine. But we're podcasters, and we're not allowed to believe things. So anyway, so he basically is like, "Is there Anita here? I sense Anita. I'm sensing a lot of dead souls around, but that might be just your couch, which clearly came from a funeral home. Am I right, everyone?"
Sunrise, sunset.
So they're crying because he spoke with the mother, and the mother said that she likes Robin, and Robin had never met the mother. And then
and he's like really blowing up the mom's ghost spot because he's like, "Well, your mother's here, and she's saying sorry about the," and then he like makes a gesture like shooting up heroin.
No kidding.
She's embarrassed about how she died.
She just can't help it. And they start crying, which is cute because, I mean, Juan feels things like I never would have known, you know? So that part was touching because I was like, oh my God, Juan. And the story, I didn't know all the story about Juan. So that was all really sad. But of course, Robin's like, "Okay, I want an apology. Where's Earl?" And he's like, "I see an E.
Earl.
I see an E-A.
Earl.
I see a Duke of
Earl, goddammit. What is he saying?" And he's like, "Well, let me tell you about Earl. Earl is content. He's very happy where he is." She's like, "That's great. But is he sorry he stole all our money?" He's like, "No, not really."
Yeah, even Ghost Earl is like, mm-mm. Well, the way he gets into it, he's like, "All right. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm getting a vision of someone who keeps jumping off a bridge. That make any sense?" I was like, wow, this medium is going, like, he's like, "Yeah, your mom is shooting heroin in heaven, and your friend jumped off a bridge." I was like, wow, this is dark shit. It is really dark.
I like that he kept going, "Did you know that? Oh, thank God."
He's about to give them terrible news.
Yeah, and Robin's like, "So has Earl sent any messages? Like, how about, like, where our money is, because we still don't know."
And he's like, "Yeah, Earl's still not sorry." And she's like, "God damn it, Earl." And Juan's like, "Damn, Earl. Like, still an asshole. Still a selfish asshole, Earl."
They're like, classic Earl. Even when he's dead, he still won't apologize. I'm like, you realize it's just this dude saying that. Classic
God, Earl. You little a-hole Earl. And that pretty much brings us to the end, eh?
Yeah, I really did find that whole scene touching, even though I was being a skeptic during the whole thing. You know, when he said, "I'm having a vision of someone jumping off of a bridge," and then Robin kind of just like collapsed in tears. I don't know. I thought that was like very moving because, again, they believed it, and that's like real shit. Like, that's real, real shit. Like, that, as much as, you know, like, we've been ragging on Robin, like, God, they have been through like hell to lose all your money, and him losing his parents and having all that shit. I don't know. I had a moment of being like, I was emotionally moved. I was moved.
Yeah, I just felt bad because I saw Juan cry. I was like, oh, Juan, cry, let it out, Juan.
Let it out, Juan. Juan,
you're feeling so many things.
Oh, Juan, he's going back to meet.
I mean, he got takeout food and tennis shoes. I mean, and they say men don't change.
Yeah,
apparently they do, guys. See? So, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Go find our Watch What Crappens Live tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com, and we'll be announcing our new shirts this Thursday. We'll talk to you later, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.